SNL Pete Davidson's apology and Ariana's diss. Hollywood stars evacuate as California's wildfires rage and Trump rage tweets. Bohemian Rhapsody's gay debate, plus it's Satan versus Netflix Sabrina. All this and more on Meet the Hollywood Press for November 11th, 2018. I'm Joseph Capsch in for Alina Vision, announcing myself, Joseph Capsch. Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am just going to tell viewers I'm having separation anxiety. Hi, Alina. Alina, my co-host, is not with us today because she's got another engagement. We miss her. And just before I introduce my two guests, I want to take a moment. Obviously, everyone's seen on the news, the California wildfires are raging. We want to send our thoughts, our prayers, our gratitude to the first responders that are working feverishly to put these out. The last I heard, it was 20% contained, I believe. Yeah. And it's obviously, we'll get to it a little bit later in the show about the actual Hollywood stars that were directly affected by it. So our prayers, our thoughts to everyone affected by the California wildfires. Also, happy Veterans Day. Just want to salute and honor all of the brave men and women that serve us so bravely year to year, and those have served us in the past and sacrificed for the country. That being said, I want to introduce my panel. Joining Meet the Hollywood Press today is Monica Fink, producer for E! and Extra. Yes. You've been killing it on the red carpet. Yes. There. Some what are some of the latest red carpet ones you've hit? Some big ones.
We did. We did some good ones with Jake Gyllenhaal, Jamie Dornan. Talking
about his new baby. Yeah, I saw the Jamie Dornan one. Julia Roberts. Killing it.
Tiffany Haddish.
A little history here. Me and Monica worked together when we were just, God, I'm not going to age us that much, but young kids. We worked together for about, 5 years at Access Hollywood.
Yes.
So we have a lot of history.
Lots of history.
Thank you for coming.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Also joining us is Umberto Guida.
Got it.
I was asking, how do you pronounce the name? I want to make sure I get it right. He is a host and producer for LATV Networks,
right.
The Zoo.
Yeah.
And also, you've said another show.
But there's also Latin Nation. It's a syndicated show. Airs nationally in LA. Shows KCAL, Channel 9, Saturdays at midnight. And does kind of like a docu-series on Latinos in entertainment and sports.
And then The Zoo. Tell viewers and our listeners.
It's a talk show, kind of like this is a panel discussion. English language, but Latino driven. So just trying to put a Latino stamp on entertainment, pop culture. Sometimes we get into politics, that kind of thing. And you can check it out locally, Channel 31, every day at 5 and 8.
Got it. And just our commitment to diversity at Meet the Hollywood Press, you're also Latina, correct?
I'm Latina, yes.
Yes.
This is the Latina.
We've got
Latina
spicy episode.
Spicy.
It's a spicy Meet the Hollywood Press. Okay, so let's get to it. There's a lot to cover now. So last night, SNL, Pete Davidson. So basically last week, as we all saw, he offended a lot of people during Weekend Update when he basically mocked a Navy SEAL named Dan Crenshaw. He's a newly elected representative to Congress, and he had lost his eye in combat. And so it was kind of like a really poor joke. Poor taste, which was surprising that producers and not one person before he actually did that had said maybe this is not a good idea to make fun of a veteran, but he did. He got massive backlash. Everybody piled on. So this week, in true SNL fashion, he apologized, but with a twist. So I want to run the clip, and then we'll come back and talk on it on the other end.
You think?
Everyone, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for making a Republican look good.
You gotta stop saying that, man. You've been saying it all day. Please, look, I just wanted to say, for people that don't know, the reason you're wearing an eye patch right now is that you lost your eye to an IED in Afghanistan during your third combat tour. And I'm sorry.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate you saying that.
So we good?
We're good. Apology accepted.
Just keep breathing.
It sounds like my phone's ringing.
You gonna answer that?
No, I was just gonna let it ring because that's rude to answer. Let's just let it go to voicemail.
No, it's cool. Ariana.
Oh, do you know her?
All right, so that's funny. All right, so Last week, I made a joke about a picture of you, and I feel like it would only be fair if you got me back and made fun of a picture of me. Does that sound okay?
I don't really need to do that.
No, come on. I deserve it.
All right, I'll do it.
Please?
One.
All right.
And now, first impressions with Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw.
Thanks, Colin. This is Pete Davidson. He looks like if the meth from Breaking Bad was a person.
Not bad. So there, we're even. All right.
Hold on. Well, one more. This is.
All right. All
right. He looks like a troll doll with a tapeworm.
Okay, coming back in from that now. Okay, so what were your, Monica? What were your first thoughts when you saw that?
Well, at first he started with like how much his mom hated him too. What
yes.
a big dick he was too. It was hilarious. Yeah. But then for him to come on, it was great.
It was
perfect.
Great.
And to see them apologize and move on, like, hey, we can move on. Keep it going.
Umberto, what did you think the last week when the backlash was so swift? Do you think that that was, again, warranted for that joke? Or, again, we live in a hyper-sensitive
I think it's
culture?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what about... it's usually I roll my eyes when I read about someone's public apology because I feel they're a little forced and insincere. However,
yes.
I think even though the joke backfired on Pete Davidson, a lot of things are backfiring on Pete Davidson these
yes.
days. But I thought that was a cool apology because the guy was sitting next to them. You know, it's a Republican also on SNL. There was a little bit of a coming together, you know, like
yeah.
anybody could watch that clip and feel good about it. So I thought that was cool.
I thought it was great. Well, Dan Crenshaw, even after the when they started covering it all across news, even cable news last week, Dan Crenshaw had gone on like either MSNBC or CNN and actually had already said that he understood it was a bad joke and did forgive. I thought he really has a future if
yeah.
he ever wanted it.
He's like, actually the funniest Republican.
He was so
intentionally funny.
Yes, intentionally funny. For the right reasons.
Yeah.
Funny for the right reasons.
Yeah.
But I thought he had excellent comedic timing.
Yeah.
So
but I really think, again, SNL, as old and long-running as the show is, they've never ceased to amaze me at how innovative, because
mm-hmm.
just to sort of bring him on the show, because
mm-hmm.
I was kind of wondering, like, all week, like, when was Pete going to apologize? When was he going to, mm-hmm. and it was because they had this cooked
right.
up.
Yeah.
Right.
So he had to wait a whole week getting piled on social media
yeah.
for other things, too, which we're going to get to my transition now. So Ariana, who we saw in that skit, who for those who living under a rock don't know, they had a short engagement and were supposed to be married, and they had just separated. She released a song, Thank You Next, and almost on the heels of when Pete did promos a couple weeks ago poking fun at the breakup,
mm-hmm.
and I think she was not happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think to myself, did she write the song that quickly and then get it out, or was the song on the shelf? But anyway, the song came like right after.
Right.
She hasn't spoke much about what the song is, but it's very clear in the lyrics, which I'm going to sample a little audio for you guys right now.
Thank you.
So in the thing, she says, she's like, wish I could say thank you to Malcolm, who is Mac Miller. So when she's saying like her ex, she's talking about him. But then there's pieces in here, you know, how obviously the internet and all the celebrity sites like to ruminate on who it was about. But she said something about like him being, I guess, where was it at? She said that he was basically like, she's glad it's over. In other words, but she's grateful for Mac Miller, he's his angel. Monica, what did you make of that song when it came out? Because it's like, it's a debate of whether she doesn't want to say it's a diss track. She was on Ellen. She got very embarrassed about talking about it when she asked about Pete. What's your opinion?
I mean, I think she's thanking him for probably lessons learned. That's
okay.
what I think. That's
okay.
like, thank you for the relationship. I learned from it, but now I moved on to the next relationship. Now I'm moving next. What's next?
Yeah.
I mean, with Pete Davidson, though, I mean, she did throw him in there. So did she go back and retrack it before? Because she tracked him in the beginning.
I think she probably added that maybe at the last
second. She
probably
added it in.
Now I listen and laugh. Even almost
yeah.
got married. And for Pete, I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's thanking him for the lessons.
Yeah.
So it's not really a diss.
I don't think it's a diss. I think she's just like, thanks for loving me, but it didn't work out. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Next.
Next.
Well, I'll say this. You know what this represents, though? I think that both of them, you know, are maturing. Because
yeah.
when you have that big breakup, I think that's one of the
yeah.
biggest growing phases in your life. And I think she's showing that by, first of all, she probably started writing that to thank Mac, and then when this happened, she felt like putting
Pete in. Yeah. And so the thing that I really respect and I've noticed, I think she's really blossomed into, mm-hmm. like, what a respectable... Because remember with the donuts, when she got in so much trouble, yes. for licking the donut and making fun of, like, overweight people in America?
Yeah. Right.
When you think about how since her concert got tragically, like, bombed, and then how she This, when I was looking at this year for Ariana Grande, it's both been a year of ultimate highs and lows. But what I like about her is she has learned from everything that's happened in the press or like a past relationship through the actions of how she deals with the next kind of like dust up. You know what I'm saying? Whereas I think that's where it's hard to, certain celebrities you see making the same mistakes over and over and like 20 mistakes in, they're not. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I do, because she, after Mac Miller's death, she took time for herself. She canceled her tour. She canceled engagements she was on. And I think that was really good. I mean, she had some really big engagements that she had committed to. And she's like, nope, I can't do it. I have to take care of myself, which I think is the first thing you need to do in this business.
Absolutely.
And she learned the biggest, most valuable lesson that any successful woman needs to know. Never date a comedian.
That's true. It's very hard. Although she holds her own. Because what was it? Hold on. I was looking in the one article here really quickly. So when he first did the bit that she was like pissed about, she did tweet that night immediately and then erased it. And she said something about like making fun of him about relevancy. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Like you want to keep it relevant. Yeah. Huh?
Then she deleted it. Yeah. She's pretty quick, whether she's got like a team of people around her, because she's always got a little posse with her. Right. Who knows if it's like her own wit. I think she's super talented. I love the girl. And I think she's weathered a lot of tragedy this year.
She definitely has.
Is there any other final thoughts before we move on?
I think she's just teaching girls to move on. Like, you can learn from relationships. You don't have to be committed so much all the time. And you know what? Everybody brings a little piece of something with them.
The title is interesting, though, because is there a little sarcasm in the thank you?
Yeah.
Yes.
You
know? Yeah, there
yeah, like,
is.
Thank you. And then, of course, next.
Next.
Yeah. So, the other thing that we should mention, this may be her first number one Billboard.
Yes.
Which is kind of crazy to me that Ariana's never had a number one song.
I know.
As much as
she... Do you think she's going to get upset about the SNL playing on the phone?
No, I think she would think that's funny. That's totally funny, because that was like a big diss. Don't you think? That was a big diss.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on next to, obviously, the California wildfires. Okay. I just want to bring up really quickly, because obviously... the fires broke out. So as of now, the death toll in the latest news I've read has risen to like 25.
Jesus.
Yes. And this is obviously in the areas of California where a lot of affluent people live and a lot of Hollywood industry types and celebrities live. Just some of the names that were sort of affected. Kim Kardashian and Kanye's house was in this area because it was Thousand Oaks, Malibu, Calabasas, Agoura, and Hidden Hills. Lady Gaga, Caitlyn Jenner's house, Rainn Wilson, Guillermo del Toro. They also said like Ron Meyer.
Gerard Butler. Robin Thicke.
So obviously all of these celebrities are sending out pictures. I want to just, can you just bring up the picture? Ben Affleck Instagrammed a photo that is, I'm seeing this photo. Have you guys also seen it? I'm seeing so many people using this photo. They've photo credited the guy, whoever took it. But everyone that I'm seeing that lives up in that area has been using this photo because I guess they feel it's a fair representative of just how crazy it looked. I mean, there were some quotes that I was reading. The Wrap did an article today that they were saying, like, the apocalyptic scene, you know, and you could see, like, the way that the stuff was burnt out. The odd thing was obviously one house would be completely burnt out and then the one next to it untouched. You know what I'm saying? I guess I want to get to this part of it. So obviously Trump, everyone waits for his tweet. So Trump tweets out after everyone. I mean, this is a serious thing. Like people have died. People are evacuating their homes. I mean, you're looking on the news of these fires raging out of control. And his first tweet yesterday was, there's no reason for these massive, deadly, and costly forest fires in California except that forest management is so poor. Billions of dollars are given each year with so many lives lost, all because of gross mismanagement of the forest. Remedy now or no more Fed payments.
Right. Well, I think that's – Trump is looking for any excuse to give it to the blue states, particularly California. So any excuse for him to say, hey, I want to pull some federal payments or make some threats which he can't even follow through on – He's going to take it. I think he's also playing to his base because, you know, there's a lot of anti-Hollywood celebrity sentiment among a lot of, you know, the red states, you know, because Hollywood is very, very blue. So when they see all these celebrities being affected by the fires rather than, you know, having, you know, some human feelings of sentiment, they tend to pander to, you know, that anti-celebrity, you know.
So you led into a good question of mine because and this is more like a media sort of angle of this story. What do you say to like the critics? Because I was looking at a lot of the comments that did come from other states like that. A lot of people are saying like, why do we have to hear like about the celebrities only? Like meaning like there's so many people affected. What do you say to critics that are saying like, why is like? Sites, but I know that they're entertainment news sites, so they're obviously going to cover the Hollywood angle. But what do you say to people that are sort of like, why are you like, why should we care that Kim Kardashian's house is like, why is that any more important than just an average person that lives on her block?
Well, like with Kim Kardashian, I mean, I don't know if I really enjoyed the way she kind of Instagrammed it and stuff and then flying over in her private jet. I mean, that's just, that was not my cup of tea. But then seeing the interview with Martin Sheen, sleeping in his car on Zuma Beach and telling Charlie and Emilio, hey, I'm okay. I know you can't get a hold of me. Now that made it more real. Yes. Like that can affect anybody. But the way Kim kind of did it, I was just kind of, But Martin Sheen was like, I'm sleeping in my car. Well, like, I'm okay.
Yeah, at the end of the day, look, these are famous people. So we have a connection to them that we might not have to people that we've never met before. So it's newsworthy. I don't think it's that we necessarily care for their homes and not other people's homes. But it's newsworthy. They're famous and they're celebrities and, you know.
Yeah. Do you think that there's less goodwill sentiment from the rest? Like you just said earlier, like when something happens to California, that other parts
I think Hollywood mainly. I think it's a bad rap from a lot of people. Yeah.
But yet they're always looking for Hollywood to open up their checkbook. When there's any other disaster in the country, can Hollywood send money? Can Hollywood do a telethon? That's what I find to be interesting because I think as much as Hollywood gets this bad liberal Hollywood elite rap, that they're some of the most generous people that give to everybody else all over the world and the country when disaster strikes.
They don't send back the charity checks that Hollywood, you know, always wants to give.
Exactly. All right. Any other final thoughts besides prayers for this? We're 20% contained now.
Well, with the tweet that Donald put out there, Donald Trump, the fire department slapped back at them.
That's right.
And so, I really liked how the fire department put it out there. It was like, hey, no, it has to do with the winds and climate control. It has nothing to do with the forest. And the money and all that stuff. And I really appreciated how the fire department slap back at him and
Our governor-elect Gavin Newsom hit back too yesterday because when he said there was going to be no federal fence, he had already approved them. That's you're right. He was just playing to the base, and he did backtrack by the way on his like today. He put up another tweet because after the backlash was so harsh, he put something like you know the first responders. You know, good thoughts or whatever. It's just the thing that was interesting about it, you're absolutely right. It was incorrect information yet again. It was not that our forest, that was not true.
Trump doesn't even know what forest management means.
Yeah.
Exactly. He doesn't even, I mean, what, like.
Oh my God. Anyway, moving on. I mean, what I said on Twitter after he tweeted that, I was like, does anyone expect anything different than that?
No.
If he would have tweeted like thoughts and prayers on his, I would have been like, who hijacked his Twitter account?
Exactly.
He's keeping in pattern. He's not breaking away from his shtick.
Yeah. The good thing about living in California, we know this to be true. We're resilient.
We'll
rebuild. We're resilient. I've been inspired by all the stories of the people directly affected. Yeah. So.
And everybody who is affected, I hope they'll rebuild. And they all said they're going to rebuild. And whether you're a celebrity or the person next door to the celebrity, they will rebuild. And they have been supporting and the communities come together. And I really have liked to see everybody coming out to help everybody.
Well, I just loved the outpouring from other celebrities, too, how swift it was just, if you need help, if you need this, how can we help? Even our own, you know, AfterBuzz executive producer Maria was putting up a lot of, like, evacuation places and all the information that people needed because you don't know how anyone was able to consume or what they had access to, so the more information disseminated, the better.
And Airbnb was offering, like, free rooms for people to stay, like, come over and stay with that. So
to me,
really
it was
good.
Like, this is when Twitter, to me, is like a gift.
Right.
You know, Twitter can be very, the trolls can be really harsh. It could be a negative place, but this is when it's good.
Yes. Definitely.
Okay, so moving on from that. Okay, so the movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. Have either of you guys saw it? Because I'm going
to
say
I haven't seen it. I've been intending to see it. Yes. I'm a fan of Queen. Freddie Mercury's amazing.
Yes.
When I saw the trailer, I was excited to see it, but when I saw the trailer, I'm like, I'll get to it. I don't know. That it just seemed a little... just like polished off, and you know, when I read the article as well, that they stayed away. What do you want to explain?
Yeah, I'll explain it to you. Okay. So basically, Rami Malek, who plays Freddie Mercury,
who used to hang out at the house I used to live in when I first moved in Hollywood.
Did he really?
Yes, man. Like, when he was in what was the museum movie? Nightmare. Museum, where he plays the mummy?
Nightmare Museum.
That's funny. Like, stayed at the same, what, like a room?
No, I used to rent a, when I first moved to Hollywood, I used to rent a house with an actor.
I love the and before he used to they come were famous
yeah,
stories.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. he would just stand in the corner of the party, like, just hanging out, just talking to whoever. He was very shy.
Seems like a cool kid.
Totally.
So he plays Freddie Mercury in the movie, and he obviously was already being bantied around before the movie even got released about Oscar buzz, okay? Right. And I think it is him, Bradley Cooper for Star is Born. They're two of the front runners, right? So the movie came out, and obviously because Freddie Mercury was in the closet at the time, his sexuality was not known, and there was a lot of talk of that. Queen and the management wanted him to keep that to himself. So there was an article from one of my favorite writers, Kevin Fallon, on the Daily Beast, and he really took the movie to task because he felt like the movie played fast and loose with the facts about Freddie's sexuality, and they also sort of, I don't even know if there's a term for it, like we say whitewashed with casting, but like they basically like sort of took out like as much gayness from the movie. There's a raging debate when this article came out, even on a lot of social media and Twitter about it, because you have a lot of people saying how great the movie is, okay, and then you have another contingency saying how they feel like it disrespects and it has like homophobic undertones because of the fact that it ignored the, but it's a movie about Queen. What are your thoughts in just reading that article? Because I sent it to you guys to sort of read.
Well, personally, I think that it's about Queen. It's not a documentary.
Yes.
So I feel it's a bit more about the band, how we came out to the band, not so much about Freddie himself.
Yes.
And I feel like if it was about Freddie, if the movie was named Freddie, fine, then I would expect more to be more detailed in it. But I think it's just a movie, and I feel like it's about the music and not so much about his personal life. But, I mean, I don't know. That's just my take of it. And I heard it was really good. There are some gay scenes in there.
Okay,
I heard.
Got it. Okay.
But it's PG-13.
Yeah, so they
wanted the masses to see it. That's why I think they're going with
it. Well, I know that Remy was actually having issues with the director towards the end of the production.
Yes.
Because certain things, and I don't know if that was one of the reasons that he was having issues with the director, but he just felt that certain parts of the story were not being, you know, emphasized enough. I kind of agree with you, but I will say that I feel that Freddie Mercury's sexuality and the fact that he had to be in the closet is part of the story, because I think his sexuality did kind of show itself in implicit ways through some songs, even the name of the band, let's be honest. I mean, he was throwing the innuendo in people's faces and they didn't even realize it. So, you know, in the effort to normalize, you know, different people's orientations, I think that they could have maybe... I haven't seen the movie, so maybe there's enough in it, and maybe some people just wanted more.
More, yeah.
But I do think that his sexuality was a part of his creative process and should be acknowledged in the movie, to a certain degree.
Well, let me just read you this one passage then, because he says, "The film plays fast and loose with facts in a way that suggests the entire project was born out of resentment from the surviving members of Queen, that all these years after Mercury's death, the band's legacy is still so married to their late frontman's outside voice, personality, and celebrity. Bohemian Rhapsody smells like cinematic retribution in which Mercury's posthumously punished, that he's depicted in such broad strokes as even crueler, which is sexuality reduced to a partying vice and the so-called nitty-gritty of his full life ignored, a creative decision that led originally announced star Sacha Baron Cohen to dramatically drop out." You know, Sacha Baron Cohen was originally going to play
him,
and he didn't want to because he didn't want to do, I guess, the gay scenes. Like, big surprise there, because, I mean, his whole shtick is not completely, like, underlining homophobic at all. But I digress. So, I feel like this is where I see people that are Queen fans and even, like, older generation and younger that, like, that have come to the movie for Rami. I hate to say it. When I looked at the debate, I was very very specific to look at, like, who's to... Yes, you have a lot of gay community saying it's not gay enough and they ignored his life. And then you have a lot of straight people that went and saw it and be like, I think it's great. I love it. So it's interesting. I mean, I have not seen it, but I thought it was an interesting story that I wanted to talk about either way.
I think we're all going to see it this week.
I am going to see it this week. Absolutely. So you know what? Stay tuned. We haven't reached a complete verdict until we see. Moving on. Moving on. Okay, this is like a funny story. So Netflix rebooted, which by the way, okay, there's two folds to this. Because Netflix rebooted Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but I put it on and I was like, short of her name being Sabrina and there being a Cat Salem, I don't see how that's a reboot. Have you seen it?
No,
but it looks... It's well,
more,
I saw the trailer. It looks
different. It's more of like a thriller series and like, you know, but it's like... But It's not Sabrina. It's not Sabrina.
It's darker.
It's not
very dark.
Yeah, it's darker. It's very dark. It's almost like you think of like Vampire Diaries more in that
vein.
They
asked her, would you be on it? And she, like the reboot. And she was like, no, not really what my show was about back then.
So it's called the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. They just said just whatever. It just didn't even need to be Sabrina.
It didn't need to be Sabrina.
Suffice to say, this week, the Satanic Temple... is suing them for $50
million. $150 million.
You're right. $150 million for copyright infringement of ripping off the temple statue. which basically, it's Warner Brothers who's behind the show and Netflix, because they're saying, this is too funny. According to the suit, the temple created statue, and based on its iconography dating to the 19th century, the suit alleges that the statue contains several elements that make it an original expression. They basically then go on to say that it's ruining, like, the Satanic Church's business by being used
in this...
That's
crazy. The word is their business reputation. They have not only their business, because, like, what kind of business is Satanic Temple in, but their reputation as if, like, that's so polished and pristine.
Yeah. So, I think I just wanted to talk about this because of how outrageous and how ridiculous this lawsuit is.
And for how much money they want.
Yes.
So
because also, the statue only costs $100,000 to design and build originally. That's the crazy part.
Seen,
so where do they get the $150 million?
I've also seen images of that statue in different places. You know, I guess they just figured this is like a money grab opportunity.
So do you think that this has any merit in your non-legal opinion?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I feel like they're just trying to get press from themselves for maybe their culture. Because I would have not said, hey, that's from the Satanic Temple. I know that goat head anywhere.
This is their public awareness campaign to get more people to come to the Satanic Temple because, you know, attendance has been down the past couple of years.
Oh, my God. Okay, moving on. Moving on from Satan versus Sabrina. This week, People Magazine crowned its sexiest man alive, and it was Idris Elba. Hats off, which I thought was a very good choice. Okay, so you know how we're coming off last year, so I have to bring this up because... I thought last year was such... they picked Blake Shelton, and I couldn't believe that we were living in a world where Ryan Gosling had never been sexiest man alive and you're picking Blake Shelton. And no offense to anyone who's Blake. He's a super nice guy. I've watched him on Idol. But is he sexiest man alive? I mean, so, okay.
As a straight man, can I just be like...
Yeah.
Even Idris Elba, I'm sorry. Like, Ryan Gosling, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can see. But what's the criteria here and who's picking these guys? Because as a straight man, I don't think these are the sexiest men.
It's like Jess Cagle, who's like the editor-in-chief and like his panel, I guess, of like the masthead, top of the masthead, that sort of. And then I think it's a little bit of just to get insidery. Who are they going to get? Who can they get to do the actual cover shoot?
Right.
Who has movies or TV things around the time?
But does Idris have anything coming out?
He doesn't.
Just felt like it came out of the blue.
So that's why what I bring to my point. So as much as I was happy that Idris Elba got it, I feel like it was in direct response, like so contrived, because we're in this period of time where diversity is forefront and everything. It felt contrived. We have to give it to an African American. Mm-hmm. We're going to get, and it's like in direct response to like the country red state like guy that to me, it was like, I wish that it felt more authentic. To me, the choice felt completely contrived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
thoughts?
I agree 100%. Yeah. Where's my Chris Hemsworth? Where's my Chris Evans? Like,
yes,
those kinds
of guys that you actually want to go out with. You know, it's a little, there's a little bit of political over, not political as in politics, but just like you said, who has the movie, who can, I think Idris is going to be the next James Bond, isn't he?
Well, that's what they're
wanting.
That's what they're wanting.
There could be a little bit of that too, that they want to put him out there and sort of see, you know, the response. I saw nothing but overwhelming response.
No, everybody loved it. He's a gorgeous man, definitely. Yeah.
But I joked about it on social media that I was like, oh, okay, well, this is like a make good for Blake Shelton to the world. So it's like, and no offense to Blake, but it's just sexiest man alive.
Yeah.
Hey, can you think, besides Denzel too, and I should have checked this on Wiki before, other African Americans, because then if you're, I could have even thought Michael B. Jordan.
I was just going to say Michael B. Jordan.
I could have thought of Chadwick Boseman had a big year. It was just kind of, it was like, I feel like they literally, the editors at People were like, oh, we need a diversity pick because we really screwed it up last year. So here you go. And it's 2018. It's all about that. It just felt contrived.
And he's older.
But most of these sexiest men of the years are. That's why, around 35, if he's the sexiest guy in the world, maybe, like, you know.
Who was the year that, like, was it Chris Pine or Chris, no, Chris, was it one of the Hemsworths one of the Hemsworths got it, though, that was the year that, like, people were picketing outside for Ryan Gosling, in New York.
And when are we going to give it to Ryan?
I don't understand why. Someone said, like, an industry friend says that Ryan is very difficult to nail down to actually do Maybe he doesn't even want to do it.
Him wanting to do it, actually.
I can see Ryan just trying to avoid that.
He's never been awarded
it. Probably he doesn't want to do it. You're right.
So if that's the reason, then fine.
I mean, he doesn't want to do carpet, so come on.
We're happy about Idris. We just wish it felt, if we didn't know as much as we know about entertainment and the way the industry, it feels contrived.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on. So, in this next segment that we call Trump Talks, we like to highlight the worst and the worst in the week of Trump. And so this week, Michelle Obama, very revealing, her memoir comes out.
So becoming good.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it. It comes out Tuesday. She did a very candid interview on...
It airs tonight.
On ABC. It airs tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Look at you. You're in that producer mode. Woo. You're in producer mode right now, Monica. It's feeding me notes. she talked about how... And by the way, she's never directly criticized or talked about Trump before this. Like, when she even campaigned for Hillary, it was always veiled. You knew who she was. But she basically said in her book that she can never forgive Trump for his birther, the birther stuff, because it felt, basically, she felt he was putting her family and her in danger.
I agree.
That what if, like, these, I think the quote, and I'm paraphrasing, like, the wing nuts and the crazies could have showed, what if they would have showed up with a gun to D.C. and, with the girls. And it completely, really, I felt, resonated with a lot of women. But what were your thoughts when she, how candid she was about that?
Well, that was one of them that I really appreciated, that her saying how she really feels. And I think she's the most honest she's ever felt. But the thing that really strikes me is her miscarriages and the IV treatments that she had to, you know, that
Malia and Sasha were both born, to just catch up the audience, were both born out of IVF.
Yeah, IVF. Yeah. And I think that's was really, like, amazing for her to speak out about that because they look at the Obamas and they think perfect, wonderful. And then she was like, no, I had this happen. I had this happen. Our marriage, we go and talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very open. And I think she's very real, and she's. I think it's amazing how she's come out with this. But that nasty Donald Trump, like, totally ripped her right after, and I was just like, come on.
I think that she, again, women, she is such a role model for women, because also she talked about how her and Barack have gone to marriage counseling.
Yes.
Which I think is so refreshing. Like, when people are candid, I just wish more people were real like that and interview celebrities and stuff, because I think they would help. I think there's this, how do I say it? There's this notion still that people are trying to be this perfect example for people. Yeah. And people don't want perfect. They want authentic.
Yes.
You know, like the good and the bad, the warts and all. I love it. I can't wait to watch it and read the book.
Now, can people be... I think that maybe people are a little guarded when they become, you know, celebrities. Because... you know, the people like to bring people up and also tear people down. And sometimes when you're too real, you feel a little exposed.
Yes.
What's interesting about this book is that aside from and she's usually measured when she comes at people, but she's coming straight at Trump.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't very political in the book I'm reading, right? It's much more personal, which a lot of people who are hoping that she runs for president at some point, I actually think a book that is not as political will help her, just like Barack Obama's book,
Dreams of My Father,
was much more personal because you feel like you really get to know an authentic person.
Yes, right. I agree with that. Because even people who didn't agree with Barack Obama's policies, always in things they were like, I like him. Like, right. It would be even Republicans say, I like him. I think he's a great guy, but I just don't agree with his policies. Yeah. And I think that rooted in what you're saying, letting the curtain down to really show who they are as people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so in this last segment before we wrap up, we call it Overheard Hollywood. I want each of you to just take a little moment and tell us maybe something you've heard out and about or something you're working on or something that our audience should check out this week, anything.
Well, tonight, honey, we got the first People's Choice Awards tonight.
Yes.
So it's going to be great. Nicki Minaj is performing, Rita Ora. And they're giving an icon award to Melissa McCarthy, which I think is be great, and Victoria Beckham for a fashion icon also. So that's going
to
be amazing.
So is that why she was too busy to do the Spice Girls tour?
I don't know. I mean, I just think
were you there last night for the taping? It taped last night, right? The People's Choice?
No, it's tonight.
I thought it taped last night.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I thought it tapes. It's tonight. It's tonight, 11-11.
Okay, got it.
11-11 tonight. So it's going to be great, though. And then Michael Bublé is getting his Hollywood Walk of Fame this Friday.
Oh, nice.
And I think it's going to be such a touching moment because he's had such a difficult year with his son battling cancer and everything. And
what's the update with the son?
He's clear. He's
nice.
Good.
Okay.
He's good. Noah is good. So, he's getting that this week on Friday.
Well,
so
look for that.
Fun. Yeah.
Thank you, Monica.
You're welcome.
I'm Berto.
So, this week on The Zoo, we got a couple cool things that we're going to be airing. One, Sierra Ramirez, who's a pop singer. She just put out a new record called Bad Boys. She's on The Fosters, and now there's a spinoff of The Fosters that she's going to be one of the main stars of.
Okay.
I should know the name.
On Freeform.
Yes.
Okay.
We had her on the show, and we had three contestants, three guys, and we're going to set her up on a date. She's going to pick the guy without seeing him.
Nice.
And then we're going to follow her on a date. That's going to air this week. Plus, the Narcos premiere. I interviewed most of the stars of the new Narcos season. I believe this is going to be the final season.
Wow. Yes.
So can't wait for that.
Yes. Nice.
We love them. Yeah.
Any spoilers?
A lot of people die.
Okay, that's perfect.
That's the way to end the season, right?
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
And really quickly, I just want to tell viewers and listeners where they can find Meet the Hollywood Press. You can find us on AfterBuzzTV.com, YouTube. Also, Apple Podcasts, search Meet the Hollywood Press. Rate us, please. Drop us a little review. We get such nice comments on the YouTube pages. Translate that into our podcast, please. Also, Twitter, @MeetTheHWDPress, and Facebook and Instagram, @MeetTheHollywoodPress. Thank you all for listening and watching, and we'll see you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.